Okay, today's daf is Makos Daf Chaf. We left off on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. We got to the third wide line on Yud Tes Amud Beis. We're right past the word Teku. We're up to Amar Abasi. So again, third wide line. Says Gemara Amar Abasi Amar Biyochanan. Meiser Sheni Me'emisai Chayavin Alav. At what point are you Chayiv on Meiser Sheni? Meaning, at what point would one be Chayiv for eating Meiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim? So says the Gemara, Mishara Pnei Choma, from the time that Meiser Sheni sees the inside of the walls of Yerushalayim, that at that point, that's when it's been brought into Yerushalayim and then been brought back out, that's the point that you're going to be chayiv on Meiser Sheni. So says the Gemara, my time, why? So we have two psukim that we assume are linked together. Pasuk says that you're supposed to eat it in front of Hashem, which means in Yerushalayim, and it also says that you're not allowed to eat it in the gates of your own city. So we darshin that kal hecha dekarin ve'lefnei Hashem elokachat ochlenu karin ve'losucha lechol b'sharecha. Wherever we apply that the Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu, we're going to say the Isra of Losucha Lechol B'Sharecha. V'kalhecha de lo karinim be Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu, and wherever we don't say about it that there's a mitzvah of Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu, lo karinim be Losucha Lechol B'Sharecha, then we're not going to say about it that Losucha Lechol B'Sharecha. Meaning, essentially, so long as it's lo hichnisu lefnim, so long as you haven't brought it into Yerushalayim, so you haven't gotten to the place where there's a mitzvah of Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu, there's not yet going to be an iser of Losucha Lechol B'Sharecha. That iser only kicks in once you've brought it into the place where it's shaykh to say Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu. So frak the Gemara Meisvei Rabbi Yossi Omer Kohen shall also be Yadu Te'ina Shal Tevel Amar Te'ina Zu. If a Kohen has a fig that was Tevel, meaning that no Trumas and Maestros have yet been taken off of it, and therefore he says Te'ina Zu, let this Te'ina Trumasu Be'uktza, let the Truma from the Te'ina be in the Ukatz of the Te'ina, in the stem of the Te'ina, Maestro Rishon B'Tzvona, and the Maestro Rishon that I'm supposed to be Mafrish from this fig, let it be on the northern side of this Te'ina, Umaestro Sheni Lidroma, and the Maestro Sheni that I'm supposed to be Mafrish from this fig will be on the southern side of this Te'ena. V'hishnas Meiser Sheni v'hu b'Yerushalayim, and it happens to be a year of Meiser Sheni, which means that it's not one of the Meiser Ani years. The Meiser Ani years are years 3 and 6 are the Meiser Ani years. All the rest of the years are Meiser Sheni years, so it happens to be a Meiser Sheni year, and he happens to already be in Yerushalayim. O Meiser Ani v'hu b'Gvulin, or it's a Meiser Ani year, and he doesn't have to be in Yerushalayim. He's not in Yerushalayim. He's out in the Gvulin. He's in somewhere in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Achla loka achas. If he eats it, he's going to get one malchus. If you look at Rashi, Kohen shall also be other tainu shall tevel v'amar tainu zu trumaso b'uktza bitzad znava. So what is Rashi adding with those words? Bitzad znava, on the side of its tail. So what Rashi is telling us is probably that if you were to just say that the truma should come from the stem itself, that's no good, because you have to be mafresh from the part of the fruit that's edible, from the edible part of the fruit that could be used as chashav a part of the fruit as the rest of the fruit. To just take a piece of the stem which is not edible and say that should be the truma, that's no good. The truma has to come from a good part of the fruit. So Rashi points out that b'uktzas lav dafka, he means bitzadzna. I mean, he's just trying to locate which part of the which side of the fruit, which general direction on the fruit the truma is coming from. Meiser Rishon b'Tzvona b'Tzad Sofon Shala v'Ochsa k'neged Mizrach v'Chein Meiser Sheni b'Droma. I mean, he's holding on to the part that's on the eastern side, and he's saying that the Meiser Rishon and the Meiser Sheni should be on the two extremes. Truma b'Uktza d'bayu Rishis she'eshiran nikarin. Hiltach bin siyum, meaning it needs to come from the end of the fruit. Vadatran shnei lugin shaniyas lahavishar in truma b'mukaman Meaning he's saying you can't just take truma from any part of the fruit. The idea of taking from the ukat of the fruit, which again doesn't really mean the stem itself, but right by the end, is it's got to be something that shiren nikarin, which means that its leftovers are recognizable. So it's got to come from where from a very defined point, from an end point, and not just from any part in the middle of the fruit. And okay, so what are we talking about? And it is a year of Maaser Sheni, and he's in Yerushalayim. So, or a year of Maaser Ani, and he's not in Yerushalayim. So, if the Kohen goes ahead and he eats it, he's loka achas. Why is he loka achas? What does he get malchus for? So Rashi on the top says, "Tlohutzia midei tevel b'kriya shem zeh," because it's still tevel. He hasn't taken it out of the parsha of tevel by being korei shem. V'kachol Maaser Rishon atovel l'trumas Maaser v'kavra lav de tevel. Why hasn't he removed it from the category of Tevel? After all, he took Truma, he took Maaser Rishon, he took Maaser Sheni. No, but the point is, he never took Trumas Maaser from the Maaser Rishon. So it's Tevel, it's Maaser Rishon, that's Tevel, the Trumas Maaser, that the Trumas Maaser has never been taken from. And therefore, he's in violation of the Isser Tevel. Aval Isser Truma de Ka'achel Leka. Now, is it a problem that he ate Truma? No, because da Kohen who? We're talking about a Kohen. He's allowed to eat Truma. So there's no Isser of Zar eating Truma over here because he's a Kohen. Unihi di have Amr Trumas Meister Bem Tsi'isa have Matsiachel Kula. Now, all he would really have to do in order to solve the problem is to say that from the Meister Rishon that I'm Kore Shem over here, part of that should be Trumas Meiser in the middle of this fig somewhere, and then he'd be able to eat the whole thing. V'lo lucky midi to have a Trumas Meiser the Kohen v'u Kohen, and he wouldn't be loka. He wouldn't get any malchus because Trumas Meiser goes to the Kohen, and he happens to be a Kohen. So he's not. Then he would save himself from any malchus. It's interesting that the way we set it up is that he's still going to get one malchus just because he failed to follow through. He didn't say everything. He failed to follow through on the Trumas Meiser. What about Meiser Rishon? A Levi is supposed to eat Meiser Rishon, not a Kohen. V'Meiser Rishon, V'Meiser Sheni, Lalaki, Da'af L'Zarim Shari. The din of Meiser Rishon is very different than the din of Truma. Truma is given to a Kohen in terms of Dinim Amunis, but it's also in Dinim of Isser V'Heter. It's a Zar is not allowed to eat Truma. When it comes to Meiser Rishon, the Dinim Amunis of Meiser Rishon is that you give it to a Levi. But there's no Isser, in terms of Isser V'Heter, there's no Isser for a Zar to eat Meiser Rishon. So a Kohen Legabe Meiser Rishon is as a din of a Zar, but so what? There's no problem of a Zar eating Meiser Rishon. It's just the Dinim Amunis issue. So he's not going to get Malkus for any of those things. The only thing he's going to get Malkus for is the fact that it's still Tevel in terms of Trumas Meiser. Good. V'Zar Sha'achla Lokeshtayim. And a Zar who were to eat it would get two Malkios. She'ilu B'tchila Achla Eina Loka Ela Achas. Because had he eaten it before he did anything, before he was Kori Shem on anything, he'd only get one Malkus. Why? Because had he not been Kori Shem on anything, and he would just take a fig that was Tevel and eat it, so what is it? Did he violate? He violated Nisr Tevel. But now that he is Kori Shem on all these things, so he not only violates Nisr Tevel, because the Meiser Rishon has not had the Trumas Meiser separated from it, so not only does he violate an Isser Tevel, but since he was Kari Shem on Truma Shabo, he violates the Isser of Truma as well, of Zar Sha'achal Truma as well. Again, no Isser of Zar Sha'achal Meiser Rishon, because no such Isser exists, but a Zar Sha'achal Truma, that he does violate. Now, we Bidafka set it up that if it's Meiser Sheni, he's in Yerushalayim, right? So the Gemara makes that deal. Taima di Isser B'Yerushalayim, Habigvulin Lokashalosh. Sounds like the only reason that he doesn't get more Malkios is because he happens to be in Yerushalayim. But if he were Begvulin at the time that he does this, he'd get three Malkios. He'd get an extra Malkios for being Begvulin, for being outside of Yerushalayim when he's eating the Meiser Sheni. What does that imply? That the Afal Gav, the La Varoa, Pnei Choma, the Aili Va'afki, that you see that even though it never went into Yerushalayim in the first place, that even though it never went into Yerushalayim in the first place, that's the raya. So you see that this is against what we just said. We just said that you're not chayiv for Meiser Sheni until it goes into Yerushalayim. Once that we darshan from the pesukim, that only once it sees the inside of Yerushalayim, that's when all the dinim of Meiser Sheni kick in, and that's when a zara is going to be chayiv for eating it outside of Yerushalayim. But if it never made it to Yerushalayim in the first place, you're not yet going to be chayiv. But the diuk over here is that we dafka put him in Yerushalayim in order to say that he's not chayiv malchus for eating the ma'aser sheni. Had he not been in Yerushalayim and was a tainer that never made it to Yerushalayim and he was just eating it in the gvulin outside of Yerushalayim, he would apparently get malchus for ma'aser sheni against what we said before. And it says Gemara da'ai liva afki. Now we're dealing with a case where you brought it into Yerushalayim and then you brought it back out of Yerushalayim. So it's a teina. If we were talking about the gvulin, it would not be a case of gvulin where it was never in Yerushalayim. It's a case of gvulin where the teina had been to Yerushalayim, is now back out of Yerushalayim, and that's why Yechayiv Ma'aser Sheni. Now you can't just say da'ai liva afki that he brought to Yerushalayim. That he brought it to Yerushalayim, then brought it out, and then the Braisa starts talking, right, of what he does, because the Braisa starts telling us that he's first Korei Shem, right? The Braisa tells us that he's Korei Shem, so it can't mean that when we say Ali Vafke, it can't mean that he's Korei Shem after it's been to Yerushalayim and back, because if it was in Yerushalayim as Tevel, that doesn't do anything. You would have to have already been Korei Shem of Ma'aser Sheni on it, then brought it into Yerushalayim, then the Mechitzas are Kolei, then you bring it out. So that just makes it a little more dachuk in the wording of the Braisa, no? Because if you want to say that we're dealing with a fruit that had previously been to Yerushalayim, and the Braisa just picks up at a later point, so fine. So that you could fit in a little bit. But over here we have to add something in the middle of the story. Right, the Braisa starts talking about being Korei Shem. That Kriyas Shem has to be in Yerushalayim already, right? And then the Braisa doesn't mention anything about bringing it out. But that's how you have to touch up the Braisa. You have to say Ma'aser Sheni v'Ma'aser Sheni v'Hubi Yerushalayim. Actually, the Braisa doesn't talk about bringing it out at all. The Braisa says that you happen to be in Yerushalayim. But the diuk of the Braisa is if you were to then bring it out. Not if that if you were to then not be in Yerushalayim, but if you were never in Yerushalayim in the first place, but the diuk is if you were to then bring it outside of Yerushalayim after being in Yerushalayim, being Korei Shem there, that's when you would get Malkus. So frek the Gemara, but if that's what it's talking about, if that's the diuk to make, that not if you were never in Yerushalayim, if you were never in Yerushalayim, you would not get Malkus for eating Ma'aser Sheni. If it was in Yerushalayim and you were Korei Shem there, and then you went out, that's where you're going to get Malkus. If that's the case, then what's the big chiddush? If you look at Rashi, if you're going to tell me that when you eat Ma'aser Sheni b'gvulin, you're eating, you get three malkios, even though you never, the Ma'aser Sheni itself was never in Yerushalayim, then Ashmin and Tuva, that's a big chiddush. The chayavon olav af pichal l'ra p'nei chama, that you chayav for Ma'aser Sheni, even though it never made it, that Ma'aser Sheni had never been to Yerushalayim. And that's why I understand what the Chiddush of the Braisa. The Chiddush of the Braisa is not anything that the Braisa says, it's what the Braisa doesn't say. It's the diuk that you make from the Braisa that had you been in Gvulin, you'd get an extra Malkus. But if the case where you would get the Malkus is only if the Ma'aser Sheni was already in Yerushalayim and then brought back out, then what's the Chiddush? There's no Chiddush in the words of the Braisa themselves, and by making the Rukimta Vayli Va'afke, there's no Chiddush in the Diuk of the Braisa either. Right? What's the Ma'ilim Emer? Lo hi itzricha, v'lav diuk adida. You don't need the Braisa's halacha itself, nor do you need the Diuk you're going to make from the Braisa. Da pshita da filu kovin lo ka'ala tevel v'zara l'truma v'al ma'isra sheni chutz l'chama. Right, you need to tell me that for a los hasei in the Torah you get Malkus. All these things are pasha los hasei in the Torah. The Braisa is not telling me anything. So answers the Gemara, hacha ma'eskinon kigonta elinu b'tivlayu. We're dealing with a case not where you brought it to Yerushalayim when you were already korei shem ma'aser sheni on it. You brought it to Yerushalayim, that te'ena to Yerushalayim, when it was still tevel. And there was no shem ma'aser sheni anywhere on it. And the chiddush is that even though you have not yet taken off the Trumas and Maestros from it, it's considered, Tevel is considered as if there is There's Truma, there's Maaser Rishon, there's Maaser Sheni, it's all mixed in there, even though you weren't Korei Shem. It's not that it's Tevel, and then later on when you're Mafrish, it has a new title of Truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. That's partially true, but on some level, when it's Tevel, we view it as not just Tevel, but as future Truma, future Maaser Rishon, future Maaser Sheni. The Sav Rabbi Yossi, as we mentioned before, Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole essay on that point, on how much Tevel is viewed as just a separate Isser, separate Shem Tevel, and how much we view it as something that's future Maaser Rishon, future Maaser Sheni, future Truma. So, frankly, the Gemara, but is that true? Does Rabbi Yossi really hold of this idea that Matan Shel Hormu Kamishu Hormu Dami, that we look at the future of what's going to be, what you're going to be Mafrish from this Tevel? Vatanya, we have a Brice, Rabbi Shum Ben Yudam Mishum Rabbi Yossi, again, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, what if you have fruit that we never had the Gemar Malacha? The Halacha is something only becomes Tevel once it's Nigmar Malachtan, once you finish whatever needs to be done with it out in the field. So usually it means piling it up, doing a miruach, evening out the pile. Once you finish all the avodas that need to be done with it out in the field, that's when it can become Tevel. What if you have not done all of that, so it doesn't even have a shame Tevel yet, and you go and you bring it, right, so therefore you're allowed to be Ochal Arai from it, if it doesn't have a shame Tevel yet. If you go out into your field and you're not mafresh anything, you take an apple off the tree, you can eat it. You don't have to write an Achilas Arai, a snack you can have. Once it has a shame Tevel, then you're not allowed to eat anything. So what if it doesn't even have a shame Tevel yet, and it passes through Yerushalayim? So now does it lose the opportunity, the chance, to be able to have a pidyon? Maaser Sheni, you can only be poded if it's never been to Yerushalayim. Once Maaser Sheni goes inside the Yerushalayim, you can't be poded on money anymore. So we say, no, Rabbi Yossi says that Beishai and Beisilil both agree that before the Gemar Malacha made it to Yerushalayim, that does not rob it of the opportunity of pidyon. Va'alman nechlechu, but what do they argue about? Al perush nigmar malachtan. Peros that already had a Gemar Malacha, va'avru b'Yerushalayim, and they went to Yerushalayim. So now it's Tevel. So Shabbeshame Omrim Yachzir Maaser Sheni Shalem V'Yochel B'Yerushalayim. Beishame says, take the Maaser Sheni, bring it to Yerushalayim. You need to eat it there. Once it's been to Yerushalayim, that's considered that. Once Tevel has been to Yerushalayim, it's considered as if the Maaser Sheni Shebo has been to Yerushalayim. Basil says, nah, just redeem it for money, it's fine. It's still subject to pidyon. So apparently, now whenever we're going to bring a raya to what Rabbi Yossi holds, if Rabbi Yossi explains machlokas Beisham and Beis Hillel, obviously we're assuming that he holds like the Shitas Beis Hillel. Beisham and Machlokas Beis Hillel is in the Mishnah. We obviously always paskin like the Beis Hillel, except for those cases that we don't, right? Except for the specific list of cases listed in Maseches Idios, where we would paskin like the Beisham. So we could, for the sake of figuring out Rabbi Yossi's Shita, we could ignore the Shitas Beis Shammai. So what did we ask? Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that Matanu Shel Hormu Kamisha Hormu Dami, that when you have Tevel, you already start looking at it as if there's Maaser Sheni Shebo, there's Maaser Sheni in there, and therefore when you have Tevel that made it to Yerushalayim, the Isser of Maaser Sheni already kicks in because it's already been to, it's considered that it's Maaser Sheni that's been to Yerushalayim? Over here you see Rabbi Yossi holds Beferish not that way. That Rabbi Yossi's explanation of Beis Hillel is Tevel that's been to Yerushalayim is not considered Maaser Sheni at all. If you bring it outside of Yerushalayim before you Korei Shem Maaser Sheni on it, and then you're Mafresh the Maaser Sheni, you can still be Poded, you can still treat it as Maaser Sheni that's never been to Yerushalayim. So apparently he does not hold of Matan Shel Hormu Kamishu Hormu Damian. V'isal Gadayit of Matan Shel Hormu Kamishu Hormu Damian HaKoltu Mechitzos. If he were to hold that Matan Shel Hormu or Kamishu Hormu Damian, that you already look at the Truma and the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Sheni Shebo, then it should be considered as if it's already been in Yerushalayim. Answers the Gemara Amar Rabba, Mechitza Le'echol Da'araisa, Mechitza Liklot Derabanan. The idea of being in Yerushalayim, allowing you to eat the Maaser Sheni, two things are accomplished when you bring the Maaser Sheni fruits into Yerushalayim. Number one, there's a heter achila. You're now allowed to eat them. Number two, once it gets into Yerushalayim, you lose out. There's an isser of pidyon. You lose out on the opportunity to be poda it. are now both of those are not the same level din. The first din is din d'oraisa. Second din is only din d'rabbanan. The iser to be poda the ma'aser sheni once it's been to Yerushalayim is only an iser d'rabbanan. So says the Gemara, "V'chi gozer rabbanan ki isei beinei." When did the rabbanan make that gzera? When it's ma'aser sheni that already has a shei ma'aser sheni. When it's the actual ma'aser sheni be'en. The Rabbanan do not make that gzera when it's still Tevel and it's only future Maaser Sheni inside of Tevel. Ravina Amar Kigon de Nakal de Bekanya Vitiv Shabayid Rav Papa. And Ravina says, no, we're dealing with a totally different case. That diuk that we made, that you'd had you been Begvulin, you'd get Malkus, and we wanted to say, and we came up with this whole Torah to explain that it was talking about Maaser Sheni that was brought into Yerushalayim while it was Tevel, and then before it was even Maaser Sheni while it was still Tevel, and then came out. No, that's not what it's talking about. When it says, had you been in Gvulin, you'd get a Malkus for eating it outside of Yerushalayim, it's talking about real, regular Maaser Sheni, and the point is, you brought it to Yerushalayim on a stick. You were holding it on a stick over your shoulder. You were inside of Yerushalayim, the Maaser Sheni was still outside of Yerushalayim. Right? So, the chiddush is that that's called Re'ias Pnei Achama. That the fact that you were in Yerushalayim and the Maaser Sheni that you were holding, and there was Maaser Sheni that you were holding, even though that Maaser Sheni never made it into Yerushalayim, that's called that it made it into Yerushalayim. That's the whole chiddush of the Braisa. Nothing to do with Matana Shlo Horma Kamishu Hormadam. It's not related, because we're talking about real Maaser Sheni. We're not talking about Tevel anymore. So that's how Ravina answers all things. He says, and based on that, that answers the Baya of Rav Papa that we ended with yesterday. Right? The last thing we asked yesterday was, what if you're holding your Maaser Sheni on a stick? If you're holding it literally on your shoulder, over your shoulder, and you and your body is in your slime, and the bag that you're holding it on your shoulder in is outside of your slime. We said it's a davar pashut that is considered that it's part of you. Mimi luecha, it's considered part of you, and it's as if it went into your slime. But then Rav Papa asks, what if you're holding it on a stick, and off the end of the stick is the bag that has the ma'aser sheni? Is that considered a part of you? So we left that as a teku. So says Rav. Not a teku. I have an answer to that question, because you see over here that must be what this Bryce is talking about. The diuk of the Bryce, that the reason you only get two Malkios is because you happen to be in Yerushalayim. But if you were not in Yerushalayim at the time, you would get a third Malkus. Is talking about that case where the Maaser Sheni didn't quite make it to Yerushalayim, but you made it to Yerushalayim while you were holding that Maaser Sheni on a stick. A totally different approach to the whole idea. Okay, so, new Mishnah, Daf Chaf. Okay, says the Mishnah. Very halacha l'maisa mishnah. Hakoreach karcha barosho. If a person makes a bald spot on his head, va'amakif pa'as rosho, or a person rounds off his haircut, he cuts off the payas of his head. There are payas harosh and there are payas hazakan. Right now, this is the payas harosh, the two ends of his head. The assumption is a paya means a corner, so the payas are where the head hair connects to the beard hair. Right at the end of the head hair, that's considered the payos. Someone said, they once asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Bleich said, he was in the Torah of Das Beis Medrash once, and he asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what exactly is the makom of the payos harosh? Where exactly did the payos harosh end? We're always taught from the time we're little kids that it's the bone. Hard to find an exact maramakom that says that it's exactly this bone. If anything, it might be it might be a different bone. It might be a bone at the bottom of the ear. Shulchan Aruch says bottom of the ear. But someone asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, where is the payos? So Rabbi Yaakov, there was a Rebbe in Torah Vadas at the time who had a white beard and red hair, right? Because the beard goes white before. And he says, you see where his hair turns from red to white? That's the payah. So you could see, wherever there's a distinction between the head hair and the beard hair, sometimes it grows in differently usually. The head hair is much thinner and longer, and the beard hair is much fluffier usually. So where the texture changes, where the color changes, that's the payos harosh, the corners of the hair on the head. So you're not allowed to cut those off. You can't be makif those. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. What if you're not makif, you don't make it round, you just shave it all off. You just shave your whole head. So is that a problem of makif pa'as roshchem? Okay, so that's an interesting discussion in the Shonim that we're machmir. V'amashkes pa'as zikno, if a person destroys the payos of his beard, so again, this is the isser is not to cut it off. Notice the difference between the Lashonos. It's very important that in pa'as rosho, it's an isser of makif, of cutting it off, however you may cut it off. So you could take a shaver that has scissor action, that cuts off like a scissor, and you shave your head with that. that, or you makif your head with that, that is aser. But by pa'as zikno, when it comes to the corners of the beard, exactly what they are is a discussion also, but it's five basic spots on your face where you're not allowed to be mashchis. The issue is not to be makif, the issue is to be mashchis, that it's a specific type of cutting it off. It's not, the issue is not to have it removed entirely, the issue is to be mashchis, to do something that's hashchasa. So the Gemara will discuss that as well. Vasorit shrita achas al meis, or someone who cuts himself because of someone who died as a sign of mourning, chayiv. You're chayiv malchus for all these things. Sorit shrita achas al chamesh meis, or chamesh shrita al meis echad, chayiv al klachas v'achas. Five cuts for one mace, one cut for five meisim, you're chayiv individually for each one. Ala rosh shtayim. Now on the head there are two payos. Achas mikan v'achas mikan. One over here and one over there. You could imagine the Tana teaching this probably demonstrated, right? Achas mikan v'achas mikan. But we have to assume what that means, that the payos harosh are one on each side. Ala zaken shtayim. On the beard, it's shtayim. I'm sorry. Ala zaken shtayim mikan v'shtayim mikan v'achas milmata. On the beard, it's two on each side and one on the bottom. Rabbi Elezer Omer. The Rabbi Elazar says, "Im nitlo kulan ka'achas, enu chayiv ala achas. If you take them all off at the same time, you're only chayiv one. Ve'enu chayiv achi yitanu b'tayar. And you're only chayiv if you take it off with a razor. Now we're talking about the pa'as hazakan. That the pa'as hazakan, you're only going to be chayiv if you remove the pa'as hazakan with a razor. Rabbi Elazar Omer, afilu lakto b'milkato b'rihitni chayiv. Rabbi Elazar says, even if you take it off with a tweezer, even if you destroy your beard with a tweezer, you're also going to be chayiv. It's lav dafka to when you use a razor. Now, if you Rashi on the second line, second wide line, by Makav Pas Rosho, Rashi says Mishum Dabay Lemer Heininu Pasay Rosho Nakatay, that the reason the Mishnah mentions amongst the Chiyuve Malkius someone who cuts off the Peos Harosh, it's because we want to identify where the Peos Harosh are. That's why the Mishnah mentions it. So it's a difficult Rashi, because what do you mean? That's why the Mishnah mentions it. The Mishnahs have been mentioning many Isurim that you get Malkus for. Why wouldn't the Mishnah mention it? So that's what the Bach reminds us. Take a look at Rashi at the beginning of the Perek. Rashi at the beginning of the Perek was careful to tell us that this is not going to be an exhaustive list of every Isser that you get Malkus for. That the Mishnais are specifically choosing those things that you get Malkus for that have some sort of Chiddush to them. So Rashi was trying to follow that through in his Perush throughout the rest of the Perek, and he says, wait a second, Makav Pas Rosho, what's the Chiddush that you get Malkus for being Makav Pas Rosho? There's no Chiddush in that. Of course, it's a regular Los Hasei. Of course you can get Malkus. There's no inherent Chiddush in that din. So that's why Rashi says, no, there's no inherent Chiddush in that din, but the Mishnah wants to be Mechadish to us, to teach us exactly where the Peos HaRosh are, and that's why it mentions it amongst the Lavin that you get Malkus for, and doesn't just rely on the fact that it's a Los Hasei. Say, of course you're going to get, Malkus for. Now, if you look at Rashi a few lines further, Chayiv al Rosh, right? Rashi says al Kafas al Rosh Chayiv Shtei Malkios to Shtei Peos Yesh al Rosh Sharosh Kshtei Chatichos. That for the two Peos Rosh, you can get two Malkios, one for each of the Peos Rosh, because the head is considered like two pieces. Makom Aseir Chaticha Achas uMakom Apanim VaZaken Chaticha Achas. We view the two parts of the head as two entities: the beard portion of the head and the hair portion of the head. Umischabro zoom zu bitsada ozen milafanov makom shaloaz in tempela. And the two connect in front of the ear, the place that they call the temple. Visham nikra peya, and that's where the peya is. So farosh makom chibra prakim, the end of the head where the two parts of the head connect to each other. V'nimsa sheyesh lo shtei peyos, tzidimikan v'tzidimikan. So you have two peyos, one on each side, in front of each ear. V'chayv alein shtayim afilu natan basachas b'shtei yadav. So even if you take two shavers and you take both peyos off at the same time, still it's not considered one isur, it's considered two separate isurim. V'alfa gav d'chad asra k'mashle, even though you only got one asra, al takif, d'zil hacha peya, because each one is an individual pay. Same as with ripping out hair as a sign of mourning, same as with cutting yourself. For each cut, a person is chayiv separately. Fine, says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, lo yikrachu yachal afilu kerach Karach arba v'chamish prichos lo yechayev vela achas. When we say lo yikruchu, one might think that even if you make four or five krichos, you're only going to be chayev once. Tamalomar kircha l'chayev al kol karcha v'karcha, to tell me that you chayev for each bald spot that you rip out of your head. Berosham ma tamalomar, what does it then add with berosham? L'fishenemar lo tiskodidu v'lo sasimu kircha b'nei nechem l'meis yach lo yechayev vela al b'nei nayim b'lvad. I would only think that you're only chayev if you rip out the area that's b'nei ha'inayim, not literally b'nei ha'inayim. We're not talking about eyebrows or anything like that, but bein einayim, like tefillin bein einayim, that you're only chayiv if you rip out the hair in the makam tefillin. Minayim l'rabos kol rosh. How do I know that you're chayiv for ripping out hair as a sign of mourning on any spot of your head? Tamalom b'roshem l'rabos kol rosh. That comes to include the word b'roshem comes to tell me anywhere in the head. Veini ela b'kohanim shuribe ben akasim mitzvos yiseros yisrael minayim. And still, I would only know it about a kohen who has a lot of extra mitzvos. How do I know that the same is true about Yisrael? Nemar karkarcha v'nemar lalan karcha. Malan chayv al kol karcha v'karcha v'chayv al rosh. K'bein einayim, just like by a kohen, we know that you're chayv on each and every part of hair that you rip out, and you're chayv on the whole rest of the head, the same way you're chayv on the makom ha'tefillin. Afkan chayv al kol karcha v'karcha v'chayv al rosh. K'bein einayim, same is true with a non-kohen. Umala alan al meis, afkan al meis. And just like by a kohen, it's referring to ala meis, so it's over here, it's ala meis. We often forget that los is going to do, the ikr is not really about becoming agudos agudos. It's not really about developing different minhagim within a single community. That's the that's how we darshan los is going to do. But the pashpshad has to do with unhealthy mourning practices, with cutting yourself in mourning. Hani dalad vehei krichos hechidami. What is the case of the dalad vehei krichos that we're talking about? That you chayev four or five separate malkios for four or five separate krichos that you do alameis. What's the case exactly? If someone warns you, don't rip out hair as a sign of mourning, then you rip out hair, and then someone warns you again, don't rip out more hair as a sign of mourning, you do it again. So obviously, then it's pasha that you're going to be chayev four or five times. You got separate asrals, separate meisim. Of course you're going to be chayev. Ela b'chad asra. So it must be we're dealing with a case where you only got a single hasra. So frek the Gemara, then it's not of course, then it's not true. Me mechayev, you can be chayev separately with only one hasra vatna, and don't we have a Mishnah that tells us similarly, nazir shayishosa yayin kol yom, eino chayev ela achas. If a nazir drinks wine all day long, he's only going to be chayev once for drinking the wine. But amr lo al tishta al tishta vushosa, chayev el kol achas v'achas. If they keep telling him, don't drink, and each time they give him hasra not to drink, he drinks again, so he's going to be chayev for each time that he ignored the hasra'a. So what do you see from that Mishnah? That if you only get one hasra'a, I don't care how many maisim you did. You could have done the maisa aveira 100 times. When we say nazir shosa yayin kol hayom kulo, it doesn't mean he continually guzzles the entire day, because that's impossible. It has to mean that he takes a breath at some point. So it's a different act of shtiyah that it just means he continually drinks throughout the course of the day. And yet he's only going to be chayv achas because he only got hasra'a achas. So it says, Mar lo tzricha desa chamesh etzba osav, nashava usvinu bibas achas. Davile asra'a lekol chada v'chada. What he did is he put some sort of hair removal agent on five fingers of his hand, and then at the same time stuck all five fingers on different parts of his head. And that way he removed it all at the same time. So in the five places it was hey krichos, a single asra'a, and it was bibas achas that he did it. So that's where he's going to be chayiv five times. If you gave him a single asra and he ripped out a piece of hair over there, and then a little more over there, a little more over there, he'd only be chayiv once. Because the hasra, we assume, is only chal on the first time. But if he did it all five at the same time, which one was the hasra chal on? You can't pick any one over the other. So you have to assume that it's chal on all five of them. And therefore, he's going to get five malkios. It's counterintuitive. You would think that if it's more at the same time, it's less of a reason to get multiple malkios. You would think that would be more of a reason to get a single malkios. But that's the halacha, because you can't identify exactly what the asra went on. The kamashir karcha, how much has to be removed in order for it to be an isra of karcha? Rav Huna Amar Kadeshi Yirami Rosho. Rav Huna says that you could see the scalp. If he rips out enough, that there's a bald spot, that he actually creates a visible bald spot. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon, Kigris, the size of a gris. If he pulls out enough hair that covered the area that's the size of a gris, which happens to be about the size of a penny, right, that's going to be an Isser. Acherim Omrim, Kadesh Yirmi Rosho. Acherim say Kadesh Yirmi Rosho. Amr of Yehuda, So Amr of Yehuda bar Chaviva pligi bat tlasa tanai chadam gris v'chadam kadesh yer mirosho v'chadam mar kishtei sa'aros. There are actually three shitos, either enough to have a visible bald spot, or the size of a gris, or kishtei sa'aros, even pulling out two hairs as a sign of mourning. That itself is called pulling out hairs. We find that shtei saros has a din of hairs. Less than shtei saros doesn't have a din of hairs. So for certain halachos, shtei saros matters. Obviously, the most prominently for a godless, for simane godless, shtei saros matters. But in terms of the iser of making a bald spot, shtei saros also according to one shita. V'ika demapik shtei saros mayel b'kadashan. Some say no, shtei saros has no role over here. Shtei saros is not a din about giving yourself a bald spot. Rather ka'adasha, the size of a lentil. V'simanayich b'haris and the way to remember the different shitos is Baharis Kagris and Michya Ka'adasha. So you remember the different sizes of Tzara'as, and you remember the different sizes of what the different shitos of what the Yisra is by giving oneself a bald spot. Tana, Hanota Melopiazug B'Shabbos, Chayiv. If someone takes a Melopiazug on Shabbos, he's Chayiv. Now, what's Melopiazug? It's a scissors. So, V'kama Melopiazug, how much is that? Rav Yehuda Shtayim. So that's called two hairs. If you cut off two hairs on Shabbos, you're chayiv. V'atanya l'karcha Shtayim. We had a brisa that said l'karcha Shtayim, which implies that not for Shabbos, but only l'karcha Shtayim. Eima v'chein l'karcha Shtayim. That brisa in relation to Shabbos meant to say v'chein l'karcha Shtayim, that it's also two hairs for the Yisra of Karcha. Tanya nami achi. Anotam l'opiazug b'Shabbos chayiv. V'kam l'opiazug Shtayim. Rav Lozer omer achas. That if a person takes out white hairs from amongst black hairs, he's trying to remove his white hairs, so then even if he takes out just one, he's going to be chayiv. But that's not only a din in Shabbos. Meaning, two hairs is a davar chashuv. So on Shabbos, one white hair is also davar chashuv, because you're trying to take out that, you're dafka aiming for that white hair. It's not just stam, any random hair. So even one is going to be enough to be chayiv for Shabbos. But then we add, not only are you chayiv for Shabbos for that, even during the week, even b'chol etzasser, mishum shenem al yil b'shkever simlas isha, that we assume removing white hairs is a simlas isha problem. This is a major literature in the poskim about a man dyeing his hair. When a man turns gray, is he allowed to dye his hair? So the literature involves two separate isurim. It involves a discussion around gneivas das, that if you're trying to make yourself look younger than you are, that could be a problem. And you're trying to fool people for a shidduch or for whatever reason, for a job or whatever it might be. And then there's a separate issue of simlas isha. Gneivas das, nafkamina would be, if let's say, some premature graying. Right, so if it's gneivas das is not an issue, because if a person grays when they're 20 years old and they just don't want to look, they just don't want to look like an old man when they're 20. They're not trying to make themselves look younger than they are. They're trying to make themselves look as old as they are. But lo yilbash gever is still something. It's not an insurmountable issue. Posts can get around it, but for premature graying, but that would still be an issue. That's the second issue that you deal with in that situation. V'amakav pas rosho, we discussed someone rounds off the corners of his head. So yitzchayv malchus. But pas rosho sof rosho means the ends of his head. Vezu sof rosho ze amashat zdav lachoriyos nalu padachto. It means you give yourself a round haircut where you cut off your payas. We know what it means. Tani tana kamed rav chista. Echra makav echra nika floka. Not only is the person who's doing the cutting going to get malchus, the person who the cutting is being done on gets malchus as well. He says a guy who just eats dates in a basket is going to get malchus, meaning it's just an expression. What did the nikkav do? He's not doing any maisa. It's a lav shembo maisa. He's just sitting in the barber's chair. What does he get malchus for? He didn't do any maisa. So answers Gemara, damar l'chamani, Rabbi Yehudahi, damar lav shembo maisa lokin lav. We're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda holds that you do get malchus for a lav shembo maisa. The one who says that a nikkav is loka is only the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that you get malchus for a lav shembo Maisa, and that's why the Nikov, even though the Nikov doesn't do anything, gets Malchus. Rava Amar, b'makav la'atzma v'divrei hakol. Rava says, no. I'm talking about a guy who does a Maisa. He's giving himself a haircut. So he's doing a Maisa, but he happens to be both the Makif and the Nikov. So if he's a Nikov that does the Maisa, so then he's going to get Malchus for a Nikov. If he's a Nikov that doesn't do a Maisa, he's not going to get Malchus. Ravashi Omer b'Mesayeya v'Divrei HaKol. It's not that he's giving himself a haircut, but the barber says, tilt your head this way, tilt your head that way, and he does. So that itself is a Maisa. So he's also doing a Maisa throughout the course of his of his haircut. Now, how much do you have to cut off for it to be called makiv pa'as rosho? So that's what the poskim recommend. Just as a quick halacha l'maisa point, there's a major discussion in the poskim exactly how much. Some poskim say it has to be enough hair. You have to leave enough hair that you can grab onto it. Others say that it's they lachuf rosho liyikaro, enough hair that you can bend it. That you can bend the hair over. Rav Shechter has an efshar rav that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik that it just has to be enough hair that you can chop it with your fingernail. So that would be a very, very tiny amount of hair. So b'shas v'chak, if someone is very into shaving their head or whatever, so the most we could be makel to that point is to say that if you can chop it with the fingernail, so there is such a shita that you can be makel up until that point. L'chatchila, I think Rabbi Belsky recommends a number 2 haircut, nothing less than a number 2. Okay. For all those from